Oh, yeah. We're going to believe. So we're going to talk about. Next thing is mentioned over here is a person eats bread made on coals. Bread made on coals. Oh no, we did that already. We got the sage advice who was eating, putting a person's finger in salt and eating it. Okay, dipping a person's finger in salt and eating it. How this works, we don't know exactly how this works. Chacham. The Gemara says over there that it's a question in the Gemara whether you should use one finger or two fingers. Machalik in the Gemara whether you should use one finger or two fingers. Very interesting. It's a little sugya. And it's brought down that the person should only use these two fingers. These two fingers, you're saying. Not any other fingers. Why? So the person he shouldn't use this finger. This one. And the question in Shulchan, it says, why is it that couldn't use the other fingers? Should not use the other fingers? Yes, for example, that's what you're saying. Now, interesting enough, he has gears over here, example from this morning. So again, we have one machlokes, one or two fingers. Another is another gear, so where the person sticks his fingers in two or three times. It's another sefer. That's not mentioned anymore. That's mentioned another sefer. Okay. So, let's see what the Shulchan Aruch says about which ones you should use and why you shouldn't use them. So again, giving your finger in salt, apparently it's just a memory, that's what it says anymore. However, it says like this. Very interesting. I'll read you what it says in Shulchan Aruch. Alacha kol mayachal, v'rola kol melech, shasa kol mashu, v'chus kol mayim, v'yayim, 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 person eats all food and doesn't salt with it, or drinks any kind of liquid and drinks some water with it, and at the daytime you should worry about having bad breath. At night, you should worry about having bad breath and a sickness called astra, which becomes some kind of sickness person gets strangled, stroke gets infected or something gets strangled. It was more as the worst kind of death, that's from astra. So therefore, you should make sure he eats, with his food, he eats some salt and some water. The posting went down today that all food today has some salt mixed in it anyway, and beverage we have some water mixed in with it, which generally speaking true, as a person on a salt-free diet or something like that. Anyway, so it's like this. The person that eats salt after he eats, he shouldn't eat with this finger, the thumb. Because if he eats with the thumb, he'll end up burying his children. As the Shulchan Aruch says, it's not the safer of superstition.
And what his children?
He eats salt with his son, he's going to end up burying his children. And he shouldn't eat with the little finger, because it'll make him poor. And he shouldn't eat with this finger, because it'll cause him to be shavat, it'll cause him to be murdered. Some say it's a lashon hara. Some say murder, or some say it causes certain sickness, certain bad type of sickness. Shchin, which is.
This is just eating boiled. Salt, or
just eating salt. Just eating salt.
Wow.
Just eating salt.
Here I thought salt was my
thumb. Okay. What can I say, Bruce? I have no idea why this is. Where's it brought down? Where's the makor for this? Rishon mentioned that the person. They had a couple of these type of things are dangerous. You know, we know things are dangerous here with germs and things like that today. They had a couple of these things dangerous because of whatever reason they were. I don't know. I have no explanation for it. But something they knew. And as everybody said, these spooky things, don't get so spooked out by them. Because, you know, what we know from modern science is also very spooky. Germs and all these types of things. If we didn't know, have a microscope and know women in fifth grade science about germs and things like that, it would be very spooky how to, you know, how to get this sickness and that sickness and how it transfers and so on and so forth. So they understood these things, how they work. In any case, that's just the good news. In any case, yeah, a lot of salt, even a little bit is enough. And as we say, the most is good for remembering things. Vitamins. The next thing we have over here is a person who looks at a tzaddik, in the face of a tzaddik. Frank Gemore tells us that Rabbi Meir was a Talmud of Rabbeinu Kadosh, I think it was Rabbi Meir, if I remember correctly, and he used to sit behind him and learn. He was very, very, very Meir was a tremendous gadol. He said, if I sat in front of Rabbi and saw his face, I was going to remember more. Look at a tzaddik. Or I kind of help the person to remember his learning. Okay? Because now, and conversely, we're saying, I'll bring down over here about looking at a Rasha. The person looks at a Rasha. Right. Wow. Person looks at a Rasha, or a person is angry. First looks in the face of a person who's angry, right? Or a nida, who's a nida? Person figure is learning sefer chassidim. Sefer chassidim is a sefer. Rabbi Yehuda Hasi wrote the sefer. It's a very interesting about this thing. All kinds of interesting things in it. Which I brought in hundreds of places in halacha, observations that he made, and so on and so forth. Very wise person. Anyway, he mentioned the person who looks at a person who's angry, or nida. Or looking at Rush as well. So the person gets on. What?
Okay.
Oh, you know his wife or this.
You
know his wife.
You know if your wife is.
Okay, fine. Okay. So it's not given to laughing, you know, to angels to know what's going on. You can't know. You're right. That's true. You know his wife, that's the person you know. Well, I mean, he don't turn your back, you know, don't insult her, but look at her straight in the face, and that's a good idea. Look, it's not us helping you, look at her. Make sure you have Shalom Bayis. You know, Shalom Bayis is also a school for getting learning. Make sure you deal with like a match. Okay. Now, a person who is masking himself as a shotgun, he holds himself not to be very, remembered very well. So, it's also a school. It's a type of anivus voice side. A person thinks he knows everything, so Hashem will make sure he doesn't know everything. A person thinks he can't know everything, Hashem will give him such mind to help him open. Okay, a person who says in davening Abba Rabba, the brach we say before Rishma, the Bar Kubana, it's very helpful for a person to remember his learning. I mean, if you look at the tefillah itself, it makes a lot of sense. Just read the tefillah, what it says. It's also about learning the Ritur and remembering the Ritur, of course, would be a big school for a person to remember and be matzliach and zoning. Makes a lot of sense. Okay, then it says when you make a seam in the back of the bore, you have over there the 10 sons of your papa. Now, why do they put it back there? These names, 10 sons of your papa. There's a couple of information. I made many seams many, many years. I never knew why these sons of your papa were mentioned back in, you know, when they make a seam. Remember about papa, Hamim about papa, all these about papas, the kids love them, about papa, about papa. Kick out of it. So, okay, fine, but what's it doing there? So, when a friend of mine made a siyum on all Shulchan Aruch and all of Shas, one siyum, all Shulchan Aruch and all of Shas, it was there. He invited me. I said, make sure you invite me for the siyum, because I want to be part of such a siyum. All of Shas and all of Shulchan Aruch, it was there. It's like, how long it took him? At least 30 years, probably, the whole thing. I was there by the siyum. So, I haven't mentioned the siyum, explain why the sons of Rapapa were mentioned back in the Gemara. I never knew. And the explanation is that the Rav Papa, when he used to find Tamei Chacham made a siyum on Masechta, he would get his sons together, his 10 sons, and they'd make a big Seudas Mitzvah in honor of the occasion. And therefore, we mention Rav Papa and his 10 sons by a siyum, because he was very machabed. Tamei Chacham used to make a siyum. And he says, it's brought down a certain sefer, that person who says he's not 10 cents of a problem if I see him, that he'll remember his learning. So, his school remembers learning. Okay. He gives the inclusive, what I said. What a person learns when he's a young child, which unfortunately doesn't apply because we I mean, maybe remember mathematics, remember stuff like when they were young, but for a person when they're young, remembers very well. It's stuck in his memory and never leaves. So that's a good thing to help a person remember rolling. I had a friend of mine told me the following story. There's one time riding in the New York subway. The guy sits down in a big husky looking boy, you know. And he's, my friend is looking at the safe, the language status Kedushin. So the guy turns to him, ah, I see you're learning Kedushin. Yeah, that means he could read Hebrew. It wasn't an English Arab scroll. It was a Hebrew safer. He looks at him. He says, ah, yeah, I was my Shishiva Bocher. He was instead of a non-Jewish, nothing, he looked like a completely secular person. I just want to see Shiva, I remember, instead of talking about Kedushin, Masechus Kedushin, so I was stuck in his memory like 3 years ago, a long time ago, this person learned in Yeshiva. This person learns as a child, just think back and know what you know when you're between the ages of, like, say, 6 and 10, 11, 12, you know, geography, and mathematics, and
plus.
Huh?
On the radio.
Oh yeah? Okay. A person, they learn at young ages, gets stuck there, E equals MZ squared, like I'll never go away. And all these different things, the simple mathematical equations they learn about. Certain things, the person who is young gets stuck well in his memory. The person gets older, his mind gets filled up with all kinds of different things, and it doesn't work so well. Also, in Alpi Teva, the brain deteriorates to a certain extent, the memory part of the brain deteriorates after a certain age. However, I was very encouraged that I have a book in my bathroom called Mega Brain. Mega Brain. I borrowed it from a friend of mine who is a psychologist. Anyway, this book is fantastically encouraging. You know why? Because the whole purpose of the book is to show that a person can develop his brain even at an old age. There's the brain, unlike the physical body, has capacity to develop even into very old age. As opposed to the physical body, which as we know, after a certain age, no matter what kind of, the best athlete in the world at a certain age, his body deteriorates, that's it, there's nothing to do about it. Okay, you can keep it up to a certain extent, but it deteriorates to a lot of extent. But the brain is different. And the book explains why that is, and explains, it's very, very interesting. And the principle of the book is by stimulation, so if it works with the brain automatically gets denser. Studies in rats and things like that, the brain gets denser and more certain types of atoms and molecules in different parts of the brain literally grow. Anyway, so therefore, by saying that a person who uses his brain and his memory, he can strengthen it all the time, even after the age 50, 60, 70. So that's encouraging. But if a person doesn't use it, he gets lazy, so the brain then atrophies. All right. And last list we have, list over here, things help with memory, is that a person is careful not to think divitera in a place where he's not supposed to think divitera, namely the bathroom. Right. And that's schus, Hashem will make him remember something he shouldn't lose out from it. Okay? Now,
what do you say about the area?
If you don't think about it intently, it's okay. It's not a try to avoid thinking about it and try to think about something else. But if you look, it's okay, because the person is honest, what are you gonna do? There's a whole in Sefer Zvachim, everybody says, there's a whole Amor of Gomorrah. That's a certain amount of thought, he thought the whole thing out in the Beskisa, the bathroom. Now, because the bathroom, their bathrooms are really, they're much worse than ours today. Ours are relatively clean. Those bathrooms are the real thing, by saying. But our houses are, you pass out when you walk into one of those things. So, anyway, why it was, the Gemara says, how can you think in the bathroom? So, that's the thing to return the bathroom. So, he said, he's just an illness. He was thinking of Sugi so much, he couldn't get it out of his mind when he was in the bathroom. So that's why we say it's good to have some good absorbing books in the bathroom to get your mind off the Vitera. Whether it happens to be your computer books,
car
science
magazines.
Books, what?
Car magazines,
right, steam magazines, all the good, good things. Reader's Digest is very dangerous for listening.
Yeah?
Yeah. But Reader's Digest said this year, you want to learn smother? You got Reader's Digest and go to the bathroom. See how long before you get out of there. Reader's Digest is very, very, it's very absorbing. It's always your next hour, this is interesting. You don't have to be a master of the voice, that is enough. Anyway, the bottom line is you have an interesting Lucian bathroom in order to be master of the zero. Okay. Now, The next section we're going to is the things that cause a person to forget his one. Negative things. Or things to avoid. We're talking about the positive things, we're talking about the negative things. Alright. Now remember this one thing, I'm going to explain to you something. The seven peculiarities. When a person forgets one thing, he's learning his chayav misa. Now, so what does that mean? Basically, you guys spent your whole life on one Mishnah. You have two Mishnahs and one Mishnah a week, they don't forget one word of the Mishnah, and you have a portion over there also, right? It's obviously impossible. So, therefore, we were talking about earlier, a person goes and purposely forgets the Vayitera. On purpose, he makes himself forget it. That's what the Isser is. But if a person is learning, and he reviews a certain amount, and he keeps going Vayitera like every normal person does. So then it's not a problem. That's what you're supposed to do. And of course you're going to forget some details. It's impossible not to forget. Even the biggest genius in the world is going to forget something. It's impossible not to. So therefore, don't be frightened by the Mishnah Pirkei Avos, by saying, the person who goes out of his way to forget the material, block it out of his mind, so to speak, then there's an issue involved. So, just want to knock you down. Now, number one, if a person doesn't chazer, he's going to forget. That's it. With all the schools, you know, with the salt and the Shem's eyes and everything else, doesn't chazer, we say. Forget it. And then, you know, people are looking for all the easy way out. You know, they're learning, but first and foremost, you're looking at the chazer. That's what we do. And a very interesting way that the more person reviews, the more person likes to return. It's very good. But you have to be one of the people who are doing that is through the way that you enjoy. You have it too much when it comes to not take it anymore, you don't want to look at it anymore. Then you won't want to go back. You lose your enjoyment learning. You want to stay learning, you learning, but you have to enjoy it. That's it. It's like Parnassa. Parnassa, if a person doesn't enjoy what he's working at, he won't perform very well in his job. It's the W-doers. So therefore, they advise all these people to get a job that you enjoy doing. Okay? So, the same thing over here, we're make a system of Hazorah that you enjoy doing it. You want a Hazor, you want to remember it. It's a way that you enjoy doing it, don't do it. And all different ways, we'll discuss as we go along a little bit. Because there are some people like Hazoring inside, some people like writing things down. There are different ways of remembering. But the bottom line is, it has to be enjoyable.
How do I say the Hazorah? I do it like this.
When I learned the Gemara, I made sure I hazard when I first learned it at least 2-3 times. The next day I would hazard again. Because when you sleep overnight and you hazard the next day, it goes in different. And you always see something new you never seen the day before. Then I would try to hazard after a certain amount of time, like maybe a month or something like that, hazard again. I have a set of photos from my old thing.
Do you like, you take notes or do you like,
No, writing didn't work for me very well. No, writing didn't work for me very well.
Okay.
I'm some of the things come on me more, but I wouldn't make notes on it. My son, who made it up for me because he loved writing. Everything he's learning is write down and just. There's some people like they love writing and they can write and write and write. I'm allergic to writing, you know what I'm saying? It doesn't work for me so well. What?
Rabbi?
Huh?
Are you left-handed?
No, I'm right-handed.
Okay.
But I'm allergic to writing. For some reason, I don't know why. I start writing in my mind is working too fast, and I just get it. It doesn't work good for me. So, each person has a different koach. That's what I learned. Each person has a different koach. So what I do, I saw actually recently somebody a pamphlet about memory. They did a scientific study, and the best way to hazard, and this I found from experience as well. Like, the first day you learn it a couple of times, 2-3 times at least. Next day, hazard. Then once a week, then once a month, then once a month, right? And once every 3 months, once a year. So you made a whole system of learning a certain number of lot, Chazorah, that you make a calendar, how to hazard to incorporate this system. It's slightly complicated, but you made a calendar how to do it, you know, and you would end up hazarding. And I tell you, everybody would say that's the best way probably to remember things. You hazard a certain over time, space it out, so it accomplishes two things. Number one, your brain sees it differently when you learn after a month or after a week. And also, you retain your desire to hazard. Like you said, if you hazard too much at one time, you don't want to look at it anymore. And you won't have a chance to go back to it. This keeps your appetite up to want to go back. So then he has also so much, he gets a year, then he hazard all shots over a year. That's what he got. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, okay. So halacha, the best thing to know halacha by sign. Halacha, as you probably noticed, a lot of details, especially in Mishnah Berurah. Lots and lots and lots of detail. So, what's when you're first learning, the best thing to do is take out what's relevant, the ma'isa, and try to remember that. There's usually a few points, not so many points. What's relevant, the ma'isa, for you in your daily life? Okay, or visualize what in your future will be relevant to you. That's a somewhat easy way to remember. The other way is to hazard. In other words, I used to hazard Mishpura Hilchus Pesach every year of Pesach. And that was a month before Pesach. So I did it now year after year after year after year. So finally, it sunk in after a while. You know, I did it for 10 years. So after a while, it got very, very well sunk in my brain. So that's Rosh Hashanah also on the Shir Halachi used to go through the Mishnah over and over again. We learned very much, you know, with Tommy, and we go over and over again. He knows the backwards and forwards. Okay. Halacha, if you can't say Chazer, and the way to make it more interesting is like each time you use a different Sefer, or if you use Mishnah, so you can do that. But you use different Sforim, so you run across the information in a slightly different format, so it goes in this angle, that angle, and it gets very, very, very even something, for example, Zosa Bracha. The Rabbi Kivin lived in Rabbi Shandrik Shir, the Mishnah Berurah. Then there's also Bracha now, so it's like you always new kinetics, new insights. So, in halacha, the best to remember is what you try to visualize what's relevant to you. What's relevant to you, like you put yourself in a situation where it's real, and you remember it very, very well. That's the best thing to do in halacha.
Same way you do it twice that night and then the next morning.
So then, yeah, right. So then you have to see if you have time to hazard how you're going to do it. In other words, you do it, for example, you have a shear, after the shear go over one, two, three times, maybe get pretty clear. Then try to hazard at least the next day. At least you get four times. Minimum four times after the stifle brings down the morning. Everyone's mach like that. Minimum four times. Then if you have time in Shabbos, maybe you get hazard also. If you do that, you'll know it pretty well. And so when you hazard, don't hazard every single detail of the shir. It becomes overly burdensome. You remember the main points of a shir. The main points. You think Gemara, hazard the main points, the main spores of the shir. Right? And some people, they hazard, like they go through the whole shir, they want every single question yes, the Rebbe asked. And which you have a phenomenal memory, you can do that. But most people don't have that kind of memory. And they lose the forest for the trees. The main point of Shir is to come up with the way of thinking the Rebbe presents, the way you think it, thinks it through, and the Svara, the understanding. That's the main point of Shir. All those little tiny questions, backwards and forwards, are not necessarily the main thing to remember. So, in Halacha, you remember what's on the Elamaisa, what's relevant. And in Gemara, you remember the main Svara that you heard. You have different types of Svara, different understandings. And if you can incorporate the way the Rebbe thinks, the way he analyzes, then that's the main point to remember from a shir. So, in the interview, you get hazard 5-10 minutes. Really, the main points to shir. You do that a few times. Hazard after the shir, hazard maybe at night. Next day, then you'll get it very quickly. I had a friend of mine, in Torah, he's a rabbi in the States now, and he was in Torah Oro. What he used to do, take the Rosh Hashanah to shir kol. Right? Rosh Hashanah to shir kol once a week. So, he take and make out little cards. The whole shir kol, he condensed. Shir kol is like 50 minutes. You know, it's pretty heavy duty. Scheinberg was, you know, pretty heavy duty shear, everybody said. We take from the whole main points of shear, put a little tiny cards, like this big. So he had like eventually 50, 60, 70, 100 cards. And at breakfast or lunch, wherever he was has like 20 cards at a time. I mean, there's only a few words in each card, remember the main points. So after 2 years, he became the top guy in Torah Oro. Simply for having a little card. The main points of the shear. He became the Ikel Lam in Torah Oro. Best coach I've ever had. And he was great. That's what he used to do. Very simple. Not so hard. But it was very extremely effective. Very, very effective. Okay. Now, next thing is Geigel. We mentioned Anivus, humility, humbleness, the way of remembering and learning. And Geigel is the opposite of that. Let's put it together fine. Geigel is arrogant. Because he's better than other people, bigger than other people. And we discussed what Gaiva is, the different types of Gaiva, Gaiva towards Hashem, Gaiva towards other people. And that is a person, makes a person forget. Okay? Let's fortunately born in numerous places. There's a number of places. Cast, getting angry by saying. You find a few places in the homes where Moshe Rabbeinu got angry and forgot his learning. That's it, Moshe Rabbeinu. Hashem gave him Torah some more time, but he got angry and forgot it. You have to find how many places? One, two, three. Three places Moshe Rabbeinu got angry, and all three places we find immediately afterwards he forgot something or made a mistake in learning. Okay? Worry, Rabbi Sain. A person worry has things in his mind that are bothering him, that are worrying about. And it's very hard to remember his learning. What says that a person worrying about parasa. Rashi says, before she more, a person worries about his parasa, forget his learning. Won't be able to remember his learning properly. So what I say, a school is make sure you have a decent parasa. Don't go out on a limb. You have to make sure you have a decent parasa. Of course, you try to use as much time for learning as possible, but the person has to support himself as well. That's it. Some people think they like a Rishon Bayit boy and learn full time without doing any Shabbos performance. And very often it's not the right thing to do. You cannot stop. They go in the holes, they go into debt, heavily into debt, which they shouldn't be doing. So also have Apia Lacha. And this time it's no good. I mean, it's bad. So a whole bunch of reasons why it's bad, basically, going heavily into debt. Or they throw everything on their wife, which they shouldn't be doing either. The soup is theirs, not their wives. If the wife wants to work and she waits, she wants to do it for her own free choice, that's wonderful. But you can't force her to work. It's not her job. So the ideal thing about it is that pranasa, which you can learn a lot of time. Which in Eretz Yisrael, Hashem, people manage to do that a little more mistake. Instead of working a full time job, right? Working a full time job, yeah? So 10 hours a day.
Yeah,
that's something you could buy with a little less than six hours a day. What kind of room? Okay. Who says, the person of Tamil Chachm is Marvish Elisa Bechor Makom. The person of Tamil Chachm eats in the streets, all the different places, he's going to forget his learning. Before I understand what he says, Mabasa Dewey told Tamil Chachm is not supposed to be walking around the streets, you know, eating falafels and the streets and separate things. What?
Drinking
is okay. I mean, I'm walking the street. You just can walk in and eat one drink. It's not fitting for Tamil Chachm to do such a thing. But, you know, sitting down in a park bench or something, taking a drink is fine. No problem with that. Somebody Suda, you know, the hero sandwich, hamburger, hot dog, falafel type of you know, guy walking on the street. It's not right. The more kids are built for the dog, the dog eats in the street, the person eats in the street, it's not proper at all. Okay. So talk about a snack, but I'm eating a suda. The person takes a piece of fruit or something, it's not okay.
Yes, now if you sit down here, you walk into where it's hot, you drink a bottle of water.
It's okay. Fine. We find that a worker who's working in the field is supposed to eat as you're walking, eat the fruit. He's allowed to eat the fruit. He's harvesting. He's walking between each row. He's allowed to eat the fruit then. Because only if the country should eat after them. She must be Baba. So, to say the simple word while you're walking, it's okay. Again, a person should drink with their hairs for Tom Coffin, take a, you know, 2 liter bottle and not so coveted. For Baba, it's in Shepela, but for Tom Coffin, not. Not totally, no problem. The Medrash says that Dibri Torah is like shemen. And Dibri Torah is like water. How is that? A person has a cup of shemen, of oil. And you pour water in it, what happens? What do I say? What floats in path?
The oil.
Oil floats in path. So you keep pouring water, what's going to happen? The oil is going to overflow. So the Gemara says that a person is machnis the room tailing, so the Torah, the Torah just flows out. It's like a cup. You put the Dibri Torah in, it's like water going to the bottom of the cup and forces the Dibri Torah out. Notice, besides the fact that it's not learning them all the time speaking Dibri Torah tailing, Dibri Torah is like, it's like putting sand in your car's, you know, motor. You know, like, it destroys, Dibri Torah is something that destroys the Dibri Torah. It's an instance of the Dibri Torah. It's like a virus on a computer. What? The Rebbe Tim is stupid things. Stupid conversations.
Eh?
Yeah. So cracking a joke occasionally is okay, because that's good for yourself, a good sense of humor, that's fine. But a guy who sit down for 20 minutes, a half hour, go through with something like studio. Girls are very good at it. They talk for hours about nothing. Have no secrets whatsoever.
No.
But they don't have the material, so it's not a problem. As long as they don't speak Russian hard, they're okay.
I'm not sure, but I thought that last time I thought someone said like at lunchtime, it's like
Yeah, okay. We're talking about a little bit for like this. Okay. Come on, guys. These guys should sit down and go to it for an excessive amount of time. You know, personally, he's a little bit relaxed.
What? The guys in the back of the shul.
Yeah, for sure. The guys back in shul, man.
Talking to
being
in the basement.
Politics and things like that. It's bad news. Yeah.
Being in the base medrash, what is there a different definition for the Gemara and the Tehillim?
There definitely is. That's a very excellent point. If there isn't a real base medrash, that's a base medrash, then anything that the Torah is B'chad Devarim Tehillim. It's even talking about business, things like that, which is Tehillim, not talking about business. I'm talking about business, doing business. You can't do the base medrash. Base medrash is a place for the Torah and Tefillah. You want to talk business, you're outside. So that's sort of talking business and base medrash. So that's even though it's not the Rambam telling you, that's not business, nothing wrong with that.
What about greeting people or having like a light conversation to understanding about greeting people?
Usually, same kind of life, it's certainly okay. Let's have a conversation, what's doing, how's your sister in law doing, and your brother in law, and this, and, this kind of conversation, not the basement, shouldn't do it. Ask the basement, it's a mitzvah. You take interest in other people and be friends with other people, it's a mitzvah by saying. Relative friends, how are you doing, what's in business, children, things like that. That's a mitzvah, that's fine. But not in the basement. That's definitely not Dovin Batim. First, I'm very high madrega, like the Bully Golan. Okay, fine, that's different. But, the story met his sister, Bully Golan met his sister, you know the story?
Yeah.
The same story, right? I hadn't seen her in 13 years. So she started talking about the family and children, this and that. And he took his white beard and says, my dear sister, time is short, I don't have time for all this. And says vision and went away, back to learning. Good, that's probably going very same. The person who every minute of his day was doing going through hundreds of blocks more a day. That's sad for us. So no one taking interest in other people and relatives and things like that. Is that a mitzvah? It's not every mitzvah. There are times there's studio time. People talk about Israeli politics and stuff, American politics, whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's so useless for us. They've got it all figured out what Bush should do. I'm telling you, they've got it all figured out. He should really, move the, this is now over here and let too much money going to Iraq. He should put more in education and transportation, the powers of America, this, that. This guy, after 45 minutes, he got the entire American policy, internal, external policy worked out for America. That's it. Okay, great. It's absolutely, totally useless. Someone's going to ask their opinion, care about opinion. So what do you do? What do you count for? You didn't make any money. You didn't make any inventory for sure. So what do you count for? I mean, how does that mean to go with it?
So
I think they had no twelves. It's basically called the retailer. And they had no positive use. It's also for luck. If a person's uptight and comfortable to relax, that's okay also.
Yeah.
Again, what has no use of voice is basically government training. You can use either for the winter, obviously, right? Or to make parnasa. Or to make friends.
Yeah.
Even if you talk to a guy, keep your relatives, also this, right? Inform your relatives. Say, how you doing? And I always can't do the tour then. Oh my aunt, I guess you give it to my aunt. And my uncle got it, he says, I'd love to give it to my aunt, I guess you give it to her. So, let's be 5 minutes, my aunt. That's fine. So, just think about it. Is there some benefit, positive benefit of what I'm saying right now? Then it's okay. No positive benefit, then it's negative, though, you tell me. Of course, like everything else, we have this point is Madrega. Right? But that's a general rule. I know the girls are fantastic experts at Dovin Tehillim. They're really expert at it. Good, they're not just a Talmud Torah, so it's on top of them. But I have a bunch of daughters. They can talk and talk and talk. And absolutely no, things have no trust whatsoever. For them, maybe, yeah, I don't know. talk about recipes and dresses and, you know, every shliut that exists. It's unbelievable. I used to think that maybe with all the things they talk about, they must have some talk news. So Al Tavar Sidham and Isha, that's a clavish. It's the best. If you want to get double intelligence, talk too much with women. Yeah, talk a little bit, you have to talk to your wife, you have to talk to your parents and so on and so forth, your mother, daughters. But a lot is usually kind of good. Now, a person who doesn't send the standard for a time of Chacham. So it says up here, for his Rebbe specifically, if he doesn't stand up for his Rebbe, the Gemara tells us that he holds Russia and he has short days, his days get short, and then he gets his learning. Terrible thing. Standing up for Talmud Chacham by side, you know, is one of the best ways to cash in an easy mitzvah. First of all, it doesn't cost anything. It's almost no effort whatsoever. And again, this is your ISIS, one of the target mitzvahs. Come Talmud Chacham. Yeah. Standing up for Talmud Chacham, this is your ISIS, a Pasuk, you're not from Pasuk.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. It's such a great mitzvah, it's so easy to do, you know?
Why does someone want you to stand up
for? Doesn't want you to stand up for? So, how about this as follows? If the Talmud Chacham is covered, then you don't have to stand up. But if you stand up, you have a mitzvah.
Yeah.
You understand? Yeah.
What?
Yeah, it's called mitzvah kumi. It's not obligated mitzvah because it's moichel. But if you do it, you have a mitzvah. By saying up to them, you're saying something insulting.
Well, they would say that maybe you're hurting them in the sense, like, you know, like I would say, like certain sonics, you know, back 100 years ago, whatever, like, you know, now if you stood up for me, now, like, I have to give myself musa. You know, like.
I tell you, favorite by saying, the musa, you know, some people don't have any problem giving themselves musa. You know why? Because being Talmud Chacham today almost has no meaning in the world. The whole world could Talmud Chacham like nobody. Learning something in the world, you become a doctor, a lawyer, a computer expert, like lots of money. A Talmud Chacham doesn't do any of that. A Talmud Chacham today has almost no meaning in the world today. I'm telling you, it's a person from Moshe Nefesh, it's a study term. Moshe Nefesh today is not only physically, it's emotionally. Because it's so, has no meaning in the secular world whatsoever. So, that was almost 100 years ago when the people with the society were doing something really chashuv. The whole society, the whole Jewish society, they turn the covers on the Chacham, so a person had to work on himself. Today, we walk on the streets and we're nobody. You know, that's it.
They need a cover.
What?
So this society is no problem having a cover because it's not a cover given the world.
It's almost no meaning. Because the world looks at money and they look at prestige and look at all these things that we don't have. Make $1 million, then you're a hush person, you made $1 million, you know. $1 million is nothing, he made $2 million. Bill Gates, so, I'm sure he gets, wherever he goes again, I'm sure he gets covered more often, he gets the, you know, kingly honor, right? Bill Gates, he made loads of money. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is, more said, you're supposed to have a shirin, you're supposed to give some cover to a shirin. Because Hashem's, you're supposed to give some honor to wealthy people.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Because Hashem gave him the wealth, so that they give him something special, out of the ordinary. Which may happen today is like, I'm telling you, it's what comes to get is like, it's trapped in the bucket. It's like, first of all, the Lamasir's never say stay money. Emotionally, on the emotional level. Besides it, it's okay. So, this question, it's very easy, great mystery to cash in on. Cover the Torah, like once there's a friend smiles about cover the Torah. Help your memory learning for sure. Person gets to read for Siamim, long life. And a lot of other brachas from giving cover the Torah, and it costs basically nothing. Okay, now, a person. Certain things you're supposed to wash his hands when you like come out of the bathroom or for suda or touch your place, touch your shoes. I'm sure you learned in the halacha shiur. The person doesn't wash his hands, supposed to wash his hands, they'll end up, he's a Talmud Chacham, forget his learning. If he's not a Talmud Chacham, they'll go crazy. Interesting. deranged. Okay, so therefore a person should carefully wash his hands according to what the halacha says. Alright, now here's a whole bigger reason the person ate something that an animal ate from, a rat or a cat or a dog. So Baruch Hashem,
the cat,
Mr. Relvatas, he has a whole big, big thing about this. And it's not very relative to us at all. So, if anybody saw such a thing, you know, eat them, they wouldn't eat them. It'd be disgusting to them.
No.
So, we'll skip, we won't go into that too much. A person who eats the heart of an animal, heart of a behemoth, even though it might be healthy physically, but it has to forget his learning. So, therefore, a person should eat the heart. It's not so tempting for us today. So. We talked about, we mentioned about olive. What about that from Pizikia?
Yeah, okay.
And a person who drinks water was left over from washing, from bathhouse or something like that. Doesn't sound too tempting to me. Alright. Okay, so we need it for a lot of other reasons, we're saying. Shai's laughing over there. I'm playing him. The eighth person is very thirsty. Okay, so now, interesting over here. Person washes. What is that? That's interesting. That's interesting. I don't know. I forgot about this one. What's over here? A person drank some water in a cup and left over what he used to wash with. Wash his hands, I guess. So then it causes him to forget his learning. Okay. So that could possibly be. Okay. Except for Kosov Dalla, we're saying. Kosov Dalla, people take it, put it in their pockets, put it in their, above their eyes. So that's okay.
Wait, what?
Kosov Dalla, you see people, they think they'll try, you know, fill wine, right. Put it in their pocket, and they go, this is get rich and this is get wise. So that's okay, that's not a problem. Even though a person drank from it, the cup of Dalla, that's fine. Okay. A person washes his feet one on top of the other. Very interesting. I have no idea why that is. It's mentioned again, the Gemara over there, a person puts one foot on top of the other and washes it. So, that will probably be good as learning. Not so common. Anyway, so we'll stop over here. And we're almost done. Probably finish next time, Mr. Shem. Yeah, we'll finish next time, hopefully. Okay. Have a good day.
I have a feed.
Yeah.
Just to let you know how much I